Coming up on Lockdown Brewers, 6 days away from opening day. Going to get a little rundown with my thoughts on a number of guys in camp from the last couple of games in spring training and touching on a few of the future Brewers. Stick around. This is Lockdown Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back, Cheesers, to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Brewers Podcast Network. We're talking about your favorite teams every day. I am Vinny Rutino. You can follow me on Twitter at Vinny Rutino. Also, check me out on the pre- and post-game shows during the season for Bally Sports Wisconsin. We just recorded that season preview show recently with Craig Kashan and I. Usually joining me is Dom Catronio. We're usually breaking things down 5 days a week. I am doing this show solo. Dom has a night game tonight, so I'm just covering for Dom. It's going to be a great show. Also, I want you to make sure that you do follow at Lockdown Brewers on Twitter and subscribe to the Lockdown Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And thanks for making Lockdown Brewers your first listen every day. We post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and we are free and available on all platforms. So before we get into some player rundowns from the last couple of games, right? So I just kind of want to use this opportunity. We're going to touch on some prospects in that third segment, but these first two segments I want to really touch on players and where they're at. We're only 6 days away from spring or from opening day. And so I just want to just kind of get my thoughts out there and just on some key guys that are supposed to be really good contributors. And some of them look like they are, and some guys that we didn't think would be really good contributors, like a Keston Hira, we're going to touch on in that second segment. We're going to see where he's at. Obviously he's tearing the cover off the ball. So I wanted to get into that a little bit. Before we do get into that, though, I wanted to talk about some of the rule changes, and some of those rule changes have become official. So there is going to be a DH, obviously, in both leagues. That everyone kind of knew that. It was inevitable. All these rule changes we have been talking about, but again, it was just made official today or yesterday. So the other one is the Shohei Ohtani rule, and we did see Shohei Ohtani start against the Brewers in a spring training game yesterday. We saw him lead off and pitch four innings. So there is a Shohei Ohtani rule. And what it is essentially is if a pitcher starts the game as a pitcher, he can stay in the game and enter as that DH. So that is definitely an interesting rule. And it's really only going to apply maybe to a Michael Lorenzen or a Shohei Ohtani. The other one is the rosters are set at 28 through May 1st. So from the start of the season, April 7th, all the way through May 1st, the rosters will be at 28, and there is no limit on how many pitchers there can be. So after May 1st, you are limited to 13 pitchers. So I thought that was interesting. The extra inning rule, next rule change is that extra inning rule is gonna come into effect where there's a ghost runner, essentially a ghost runner at second base. A runner starts at second base to start the inning. I love that rule. No one wants to watch 18 inning baseball games anymore. I don't know who does. And then also double headers go back to 9 innings. So that is a change that some people are reluctant and disappointed in. I'm in disagreement with that. I think baseball games are meant to be played 9 innings. In the minor leagues, I'm totally fine with 7 inning doubleheaders. Okay, so let's just talk about real quick before we get into the Brewers players. I did want to just kind of touch on Shohei Ohtani. Impressive. I haven't really seen him play in the 5 years that he's been in the big leagues. Pretty impressive what he can do. I mean, he's a presence out there on the mound. I actually faced this guy when I played in Japan. He was 18 years old playing in the big league version of the NPB, the Nippon Professional Baseball League. 18 years old, throwing 100 miles an hour. He was a skinny kid, and he would hit bombs. He'd play right field when he wasn't pitching, and he would hit bombs. And it was impressive back then. It's even more impressive now. He probably put on 20, 30 pounds of pure, you know, strength and muscle, and the size. The pure size of the guy is impressive. He's a presence on the mound. He throws 100 miles an hour. Looks like he's learning a cutter. Hunter Renfroe took a really ugly swing yesterday at a ball that looked like it was going to be right there, and it just took off, took a left turn right at home plate, learning that cutter. So, I mean, just looking at the numbers, I mean, he was the MVP of the league. He had 46 bombs, 80 extra base hits. He had 24 doubles and 8 triples. So am I doing that math wrong? I don't think I am. That's 80 extra base hits. That's impressive. And he also pitched 130 innings and had 3.18 ERA. So very obvious that this guy was the MVP. Again, the talent is just off the charts. He's already been in the league 5 years. So, I mean, he's going to continue to shine in the big leagues at least for the next 4 years if he can stay healthy. He has battled injuries in his career so far. So it's kind of a special thing to see him play against the Brewers. And the Brewers will see him now that every team is playing each other and they're switching off when each team is going to go to the other team's home site. The Brewers will see Shohei Ohtani at American Family Field and Mike Trout for that matter. I'm not sure if it's this year or next year, but it'll switch off every other year. So that'll be really cool. So make sure you guys come out to the ballpark for that as well. Wanted a quick touch on Lauer's outing. 3 2/3 innings pitched, 7 hits, 6 earned runs, 2 strikeouts, and 1 homer. Obviously not a great outing for Lauer. What I took away from this outing, he threw a ton of curveballs. He was working on it. Not his best pitch. He shines when he's really commanding that four-seam fastball, and he really showed this last year. 92, 94, sometimes will touch a 95. Has a ton of forward life into the zone. And he was able to command it last year really well. And then he throws that cutter off that same spot. Very deceptive to opposing batters. He went to away. He pretty much went away from his breaking ball and his changeup when he was really effective last year. And he went like 80% fastball cutter. Now, I know that he turns over the cutter a little bit more and he turns it more into the slider. I think it's just the same pitch. Personally, I think it's a cutter. Yeah, he just kind of turns over a little bit more. And again, I think that that's where he is going to have a lot of success, just staying with those two pitches for the majority of the time. He was like 80% fastball cutter. And again, if you want to argue if that cutter is a slider or not, go ahead. It doesn't matter. I mean, he's I think when he sticks to that repertoire and he kind of just kind of cans that curveball, I'm all for that. The changeup is a work in progress still as well. I mean, he had so much success using those two pitches. Maybe 3 pitches if you want to call that slider cutter, but that's my takeaway from Lauer's outing. I just think he was working on his curveball and he wasn't as sharp. The other takeaway, and another player I want to highlight, is Willy Adames. He had really good at bats yesterday, and that was encouraging to see because he has been struggling a little bit to produce in spring training. Again, it's just spring training, but you definitely want to see the guys be ready, barrel up baseballs, have really good at bats. And he had a couple of really nice at-bats, hit a double against Ohtani on a tough slider. Did hang up there a little bit, but hit a double into the gap. He also had a really good he stroked a ball to center that he just missed, just got off the end of the bat. And so I thought that was really encouraging from Willy Adames. As I mean, because he's for lack of a better term, I mean, if Willie goes, the Brewers go. I mean, we saw that last year. So he's going to be that guy in the middle of the lineup that you really rely on. I've been kind of taking it for granted at this point. I haven't really thought about it or talked about it much, whether or not Willy Adames, you know, how he looks and whether or not he's going to be able to repeat last year. I do think he will. He looks exactly the same as last year in terms of the swing, the hand quickness, the twitchiness. He is some kind of talent. I mean, and he's a big, strong dude, and he moves really well, and he's a really quick mover at the plate. Wanted to touch on Hunter Renfroe as well. I don't think there's a need to worry. I mean, he's really struggling in spring training. Probably a situation where he's trying to overimpress is my guess. Anytime you come into a new atmosphere, a new environment with players. I mean, you really, you're not human if you don't try to overimpress. Especially a guy that, I mean, of course he's established in the big leagues, but he's not like an Andrew McCutchen, right? Where he's been around for 15 years or anything like that. And is really, he really understands his game. I mean, it's just a human thing to try and overimpress. You see this all the time from guys. So I don't think there's anything to worry here. I love his swing, man. He is a big, strong dude, and he is athletic as can be. So no need to worry on Hunter Renfroe. He'll be ready to go, and it may take him a series or two to get that bat going and get comfortable. But sometimes struggling in spring training is a good thing. It doesn't even matter. Guys just kind of go into the season and start raking. So we are going to talk about a few more guys before we get into the prospects in that third segment. And we are going to talk about Keston Hira. But before we do that, we do have to take a quick break and talk about Built Bar. So this is that time of year. I've pretty much given up on all my New Year's resolutions, but not this year. I'm sticking to my resolutions to eat right, thanks to Built Bar. It's almost like it's not even a resolution because I actually enjoy eating them. They're like candy bars. And if you haven't tried the puffs, you are missing out. These are the best tasting puffs you'll ever have. They're protein infused, they're fluffy, they're marshmallowy, and they're not just a protein bar, they're a real treat, and they're covered with 100% real chocolate. All Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate, yes, even the puffs. 100% real chocolate. They're low calorie, high in protein. Replace your candy bar with these, they are better. A typical candy bar can be anywhere from 300 to 400 calories. So go to builtbar.com. Scroll down to the macros chart. You'll be blown away. High protein, low cal, high fiber, low carb. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. And compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and a dozen and dozens of net carbs. So mint brownie, coconut almond, and new for this month, white chocolate cookies and cream. That sounds absolutely amazing. So they are all delicious. New flavors are coming out all the time. If they think a flavor might be good, they'll make it. It will be delicious and it'll be good for you. At Built Bar, they are all about the taste. They make it taste delicious first, then figure out how to make it healthy. And I don't know how, but they pull it off every time. So go to Built Bar. So go to built.com, that's built.com, and use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. All right. So it's time to talk about Keston Hira. So the dude comes into the day, came into yesterday actually, raking, tearing the cover off the ball, had 3 home runs. Been taking great, great swings, super balanced, super confident. This is the Keston of 2019. And I would even argue it looks even better than the Keston of 2019. The version of what we've seen from Keston right now is better than 2019. Yes, it's spring training. Yes, I'm getting ahead of myself. Agreed. I know all this. However, the dude comes into yesterday. Nick Martinez, by the way, with the Padres, used to be a Texas Ranger. Goes over to Japan, figures some stuff out, gets a little bit more efficient with his delivery. He might be the next Miles Michaelis. Signs a 4-year deal over with Padres. Looks amazing, right? Looks really good. Using the four-seamer a bit more, has a little bit more velo on the fastball. Throwing a yacker of a curveball, has a slider, has a little cutter. Like, he's got all the weapons and a really good changeup that goes straight down. Okay. So he's got all the weapons, looks really good, was mowing the Brewers down. Everybody but Keston Hira. Keston rakes just a BB, like a topspin BB that hits the base of the wall in Peoria, hits a double. Great swing, great at bat. You can just see that this kid is seeing the baseball amazingly well. So that is such a good sign for this team. Such a good sign for him, obviously, individually. But, man, he is just looking so good. So, okay, you always are waiting for that shoe to drop, right? You're always waiting to see if this is real. It's real, right? I think this is real, okay? Because today comes out, again, in another situation where Rowdy Tellez getting mowed down by Raisel Iglesias's it is a torpedo ball fastball, right? Blown away by it. Hunter Renfro, really good fastball hitter, blown away by it. Two really good fastball hitters blown away by Raisel Iglesias' fastball. Keston Hira. I don't know if he's ever seen this guy before. First pitch, bomb over the batter's eye. Absolutely majestic bomb. Probably hit some cars in that parking lot. Well, the player's parking lot parked over there. Amazing. Like, this guy is ready. He's ready. He's ready to contribute. Now, are the Brewers going to have him break with the team to start the year? I mean, how do they not at this point? They have to find a way to get him in the lineup. In my opinion, you got to try it. You got to let him come to Milwaukee on opening day if he continues this, and you got to throw him out there in the lineup somehow opening day and just see if you can get some of that magic to continue to start the year, because it's so important to start the year off strong, especially with how he struggled last year. I think this is as important as can be. I don't know. We'll see if they do it. Otherwise, you know, you can always, you know, give him a couple of starts early in the year. And if he's struggling, you got options. He's got an option left. So I don't know. We'll see what they do, but I think they got to take him. So anyway. All right. So let's touch on Freddie Peralta's outing yesterday as well. So Freddie looked really good. He was really focusing on the changeup. You could tell he was really trying to work on it. He really hit on a couple of really, really good changeups with really good arm speed, trusted it, got through it, set it up nice with the fastballs earlier in the count. So Freddie looks good. Freddie looks just like he did last year. Delivery looks good. It's loose. It's free. It's easy. It's, you know, he's got that rise ball. That is the equalizer for him. And, you know, so he's going to continue to do what he's been doing. So I thought Freddie looked really good. And then, so let's also talk about two guys that, you know, for me, you know, it's hard to talk about Christian Yelich right now, right? So, I mean, I know he's hitting 300 in spring training. He hit a ball hard yesterday that was right at the second baseman. A lot of balls on the ground. He's not getting that loft, not getting that power. Now, that's a timing thing. His timing still looks just a tick off. He does look a little bit more confident, a little bit more comfortable at the plate. So that's a good sign. I'm just using this episode to kind of see and check in with where all these guys are at. Once the season starts, once it's go time, once the bright lights turn on, it's time to really produce. I'm hoping it's a situation where that adrenaline of the season is going to take over for Christian. And he's always kind of talked about being a notoriously not slow starter, I wouldn't say, but just uncomfortable early in spring training. I've heard him talk about this, about how he, you know, can be uncomfortable when the spring training first starts. Hopefully that's the case. But he's got no homers in spring. I know it's early yet. I mean, there hasn't been a ton of games played, a couple of RBIs, but looking for him to really bounce back. I know we all are. If he does, Brewers win the World Series easily. Omar Narvaez, another guy I just kind of want to touch on. He's been struggling with the bat in spring training. Last year, towards the end of the year, it was the same thing. I think he ran out of gas, personally. He was one of the best hitters on the team last year early on. We talked about that in yesterday's show, but he definitely kind of regressed a little bit last year. So towards the end, again, I think it was just a matter of him running out of gas. He pulled that hamstring, so catching a lot of games. It is a contract year for him, so hopefully he can really turn it on. But he looks a little bit uncomfortable at the plate with his timing currently. A little bit late, a little bit uphill, so he'll figure it out. He's a really good player. Obviously, pitchers love throwing to him. Looking for him to bounce back a little bit from this spring that he's had. So hopefully he can turn that on before the season starts. So we do have to take one more break. Before we do get into the prospects, we're going to talk about a few of my few of the guys that have come over to the games and just really first time I've gotten my eyes on them. And so I just want to highlight those dudes. But before we do that, we have to talk about BetOnline. And after months of playing college basketball, I'm going to do a little timestamp here. Sorry, I'm not as smooth as Dom as is at this. But after months of playing college basketball has determined the top teams for the Final Four and will determine this year's national champion this coming week. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. From all the latest odds, contests, and player props, you name it. BetOnline remains the best spot for all your latest sports developments, including podcasts and reviews for all the leagues this season. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. Yes, I know I'm not dumb with those ad reads. But anyway, So it is Friday, and so we have been doing Future Fridays, a couple of these Fridays in the off season. So it's still, well, it's not the off season, spring training, but we're still doing Future Fridays. We likely will continue that during the season as well, have a segment dedicated to the prospects. But so I just, again, had an opportunity to take a look at a few prospects here for the Brewers that have been coming over in these spring training games. It was my favorite thing about baseball when I played. It was coming over in spring training when I was first, you know, a minor leaguer. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. I'm a minor leaguer. I'm like, oh my gosh, the big leagues is so far away. But it's just across the street when you're a minor leaguer. And then they invite you to come over and back up in games. That was my favorite thing ever. It's just like how cool, right? So now all of a sudden these guys on TV that I've been watching on TV when I was in college, I could then sign a couple years later and now I'm in the same dugout as them. So I thought that is, again, just such a thrill. And then you get a hit and you're like, oh wait, I think I can do this. So you can see that on these guys' faces when they come over and they get in that bat and they get a hit and they're all smiles. And you can almost see like, okay, this game is the same thing that I've been doing for the last, you know, 10 years of my life, 20 years of my life, whatever. Some of these guys aren't even 20 years old. So, but anyway, Sal Frelick, keep calling him Frelick, but Sal Frelick looks like the real deal, right? So, he has an incredibly flat swing. It is, it's short and it's quick. It's balanced. He had an absolute screamer missile right at Trent Grisham 2 days ago at the Padres against Nick Martinez again, who looked really, really good. So, he sees the baseball. He had a really tough at bat against a nasty lefty in that game. I forget who that name was, but it was he played left field. He played a pretty good left field. He can probably play center. He's a plus runner. He's for sure a plus runner. I don't know if he's double plus, but it's a good look. This kid is going to play in the big leagues. Look, there's a number of comps. I'm trying to like put a comp on him. And at first I'm like, man, is this guy just Adam Frazier, who's a very solid big leaguer, right? He's probably a 50 or a 55. I'm like, is he Adam Frazier? Because he's got a really good contact bat. It's short, it's quick, but is there going to be enough power? Is he going to be able to play center? I don't know. It almost looks, and Trent Grisham has really turned into he's probably a 60, for sure a 55, maybe a 60, especially with the defense. I'm like, is this guy a higher motor version of Trent Grisham? He might be, right? Trent Grisham has that really flat swing, has that really natural knack ability to get that barrel on the ball. So it could be a version of him. Hopefully, right? I think, especially if it's a higher motor, because Trent likes to play a little lackadaisical sometimes, real swaggy out there at times. And Brewer fans know all about that play in right field against the Nationals in that wild card game. But Sal Frelick looks like the real deal. Again, just the one game look that I've had on him. Next guy I wanted to mention, Xavier Warren. Really good look over there. Really good look. Switch hitter. third rounder in 2020. Great job scouting by the Brewers scouting department. I mean, this guy can hit. Looks like he's a gamer. Looks like he's a baseball player. Switch hitter with the ability to play third base, first base, maybe second. Think they put him behind the plate a little bit as well. But first look at him, just the approach, the swing, looks like a baseball player. That's what they should look like. So he'll continue to develop. Those are the guys that do develop, right, with a really good knack, really good ability to see the baseball, have quality at bat. That's what Xavier Warren does look like. Joey Weimer, my goodness. what a talent, right? So these are the guys that if he figures it out and he can really harness his ability and his tools, he is going to be a 7, right? A 70, an MVP type caliber player, for sure a 60, right? This is like the Charlie Blackman type of a player, or, you know, the player that jumped out at me, believe it or not, with how loose and powerful and in the swing essentially is Richie Sexson. You know, obviously a different player. Obviously Richie had actually a really tight, short, compact, consistent swing, really controlled the barrel. Joey's barrel looks like it's a little bit wild at times. He's going to probably learn to cut that down just a hair, just to kind of have a little bit better barrel accuracy and barrel up the baseball a little bit more consistently. So I do think, but just the sheer size and the sheer power and the looseness to the swing is similar. So Joey Weimer is looking like a special talent if he can figure it all out. It was fun to watch him get that at bat yesterday. Tyler Black, that was 2 days ago. Tyler Black got the at-bats yesterday, got a couple of at-bats. Looks like a ball player as well, like really short. I mean, not short necessarily. It looked like from the front on center field camera view that the swing was very quick, very efficient. Looked like he had kind of a synced up move using the ground and kind of had everything working together to deliver a really quick, powerful bat, you know, a lot of bat speed there. Didn't have any success yesterday with it, obviously, in the couple of at bats, but definitely looks like a something that has talent, right? So great job as always by the Brewers scouting department and the Brewers player development department. They do a phenomenal job, the best in the business. So anyway, all right, well, that is the episode, the solo episode without Dominic Catronio. I am glad that you guys tuned in, and we will talk to you guys next time.